around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God on this July 4th, the year 2009. If you go back to 1776, the Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence. They didn't just create independence in that moment of adopting that particular document, which wasn't even signed yet by an awful lot of people. But they had adopted independence long before. They had learned to do for themselves. They had earned their right to be called freemen. They had obtained land at great cost that was actually a freehold title and land. Large portion of Americans who came here with the design and desire to actually own land. That's so critical to understanding what a free man is. Today, even in the Oxford Dictionary, the word free man is defined as someone who has a freehold title in land. That was absolutely essential in order to be a free man. Nobody who is a U.S. citizen today in the United States owns their own land. They have legal title to their land. They don't own it. They own a legal title, but they don't own the land itself. Legal title does not include the beneficial interest of the property. That is the definition of legal title. It does not include the beneficial interest, the right to use the property. That's very critical to understand also, because of the fact that if you don't really own the beneficial interest, the right to the use, the right to the profits of the property, then somebody else must own it. And that's exactly what's taking place in America. Citizens all over the United States today own land by government suffrage. And someone just recently sent me a document. Actually, I was just looking, just sent me another email. But was quoting something from my book, The Covenants of the Gods, which is where the Congress says that all government, the government owns all the land, basically. And that's, if you go on in the definition of legal title, it talks about the legal title being the antithesis of equitable title, and then you look up equitable title, and it says the one whom the law considers to be the true owner of the property, which would be, again, the government. Because they hold the equitable title in a emulsionary trust. They also hold your right to work. That's why you're a human resource. This is all taken place by contract. It isn't 1776 anymore. You know, the majority of the people in America did not go along with the Declaration of Independence. The majority of the people in America wanted to keep the king in place. They liked him 3,000 miles away, but they didn't want to break from that protective power of the King of England. They didn't realize the power is really in the people. The king is nothing unless the people bow down and accept his rule. The same with the president. people all worried about Mr. Obama not being a lawful president of the United States. Well, it really doesn't matter because everybody's doing what he says anyway. So it would be interesting if you found out that he was not eligible for the presidency of the United States and that he is in the office illegally because he wasn't really born in the United States and he is actually, you know, claimed citizenship in other countries and never done anything to undo that. That would be interesting, but I can tell you what would probably happen is that the president, Congress, and Senate that you have would immediately add an amendment allowing him to be the president of the United States, and which they can do without sending it to all the people in the individual states if they got enough votes. They could alter the Constitution. And you know what would happen as soon as you did that? Arnold Schwarzenegger could run for president of the United States because he wasn't born in the United States either. The problem is out of control. It's out of your control, the problem with the federal government. But what is not out of your control is the problem with you. The problem with you, speaking to general people out there in the world today, you are of the world today. You are not living in 1776. You do not struggle to own your own land. You don't own your own land because you haven't taken the time to even look up the definition of a legal title. You haven't understood that you haven't been paying for anything since 1913. You've been discharging debt on a regular basis. And it's gotten so bad that you've gone off the silver standard, you've gone off the gold standard. And now, as a citizen of the United States, you can't even use gold and silver as money. You can use it as to discharge debt. You can play Monopoly with it. But you can't actually buy anything with gold and silver. You can't even own property. You do not have sufficient status as a citizen of the United States to own property because you're a citizen of a government that's bankrupt. You're a citizen of a government which you are a surety for their debt. How can you pay for anything when you're in debt beyond your means? No, we've gone the wrong way. We continue to go the wrong way. We're trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and it won't work. Now, this is not an unusual condition of mankind. Mankind has repeated this problem over and over again in history. They did it in Ur. They did it in the Indus Valley before they went to Ur. Then they did it in Ur. Then they did it in Haran. And then a man of faith said, I'm not going to play this game anymore. I'm going to leave. I'm going to become this Hebrew wanderer and go out and do something completely different. And he did. It wasn't really that much different. You would actually find people before the flood doing the same thing. But in our historical record, it's certainly in the biblical record, it's the first clear evidence of this other system, this kingdom of God, how it operates. Problem is, we've gone to Pharisees and asked them, how does the kingdom of heaven work? How does the kingdom of God on earth work? And the Pharisees say, oh, well, you kill sheep on piles of stone and set them on fire. And God finds that to be a pleasing savor smell. And then every once in a while you go outside your camp and you kill a red heifer and you burn it up. And they told us this kind of nonsense. And we believed them. We actually believed that God wanted people to do that. And that is absolute, utter nonsense. It's ridiculous. It's mumbo-jumbo. It's witchcraft. It is not what God said, not even in the slightest. It is the result of translating metaphors and mistranslating Hebrew so that you actually believe that God wanted you to kill sheep on piles of stone and set them on fire. Have you guys ever done that? You know what that looks like? God doesn't find it pleasing. You won't find it pleasing. As a matter of fact, you might want to stand back because you're going to see the operation of physics in a most violent sort of way. No, it's not pleasing at all. God never asked us to do that. That's not what they're talking about at all. And if you go read Artifice and Language Land, which we have up on the net, and I'm trying to expand that book. A number of people have read it, and it's so earth-shattering. It is so iconoclastic. It tears down the altars of men so completely that they can't believe it. They want more proof. They need more help with their unbelief. But of course they say, oh, you can't just say this because of one little phrase in the Bible. And of course, I didn't just look at one little phrase in the Bible. I looked at several and showed people this, and then they came back with those phrases, and then I wrote the booklet, Artifice and Language Land, The Sophistry of Sacrifice. And they looked at it again, and then they still go back and say, oh, yeah, but you can't just use that quote. Well, that was the critical explanation of why why I couldn't be right when I said that God never wanted us to kill sheep on piles of stone and set them on fire. And so I took their critical statement, just they brought it to me, and I said, okay, let's look at the words. Let's look at what they mean. And it's, you know, they translate these words a dozen different ways. The same exact Hebrew word, they'll translate it a dozen different ways. You know, they turn a rump into the name, the word Elijah into the word rump. They turn the word for control into the word kidney. They turn the word honorarium into the word liver. And then they're telling you you're supposed to be cutting these things out and setting this thing on fire. They turn a word that doesn't even mean fire into fire, burning up. It actually means to consume. It doesn't necessarily mean to consume with fire. It doesn't. And the interesting thing in the Hebrew, that if it had something to do with fire, it would have some of the same letters of the word fire in it, because the letters have meaning, and that's the way they do it. They take a word, something basic like fire, might three-letter word, and then they'll add a letter or change one letter to mean some kind of fire, like a sacrificial fire. But they didn't do that. They got a completely different word. Offering. They played with this. The Pharisees, and the interesting thing, at the time of Christ, one of the largest religious groups in the Roman Empire related to Judaism, which actually, you know, when I say Roman Empire, these guys were spread all over the place, was we called them Essenes. They didn't call themselves Essenes. Most people didn't call themselves Essenes. But they were one of the most popular, one of the most successful, one of the most influential groups around. They were like Christ. They wouldn't take oaths and stuff like that. They wouldn't exercise authority. They tried to avoid taxes at every opportunity. They did not evade them, but avoid them by creating a lifestyle, a system of living where they didn't owe taxes, which we could do today. And it's legal. And it was legal for them. But it took a certain kind of character to be a part of these communities. But they said that this whole idea of killing sheep, setting them on piles of stone, and setting them on fire, was a fiction and a fraud. And they're reading Hebrew. They're reading the same Hebrew text. And they're saying it was a fiction and a fraud. And so now I come along and say it's a fiction and a fraud. And I got Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics, everybody wanting to crucify me. And the fact is Christ said that God was sick of these burnt offerings. That they were quite a sepulchre, that they were in opposition, workers of iniquity. What is he talking about? you should have left that stuff undone and tended to the weightier matters, law, justice, mercy, faith. What was the conflict between the Pharisees? I mean, there was no conflict between Moses and Jesus. So, where was the conflict? The fact is we've been absolutely grossly deceived. Now, going back to the American Constitution, since we're talking, and the early American Declaration of Independence, what had happened is that these people had read the Bible, actually had a better understanding of it than modern Christians, although they were still grossly deceived. Even some of the early translators were deceived because they had had 500 years of false Christianity shoved down their throat at the point of a sword and a spear. And they were struggling to find the truth, but they were coming up with enough truth to know that this book was the book for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, which is what was written in the introduction to Wycliffe's Bible before he was arrested and probably assassinated in jail. And the same is true of Tyndale and some of the others. They began to realize that they had been grossly deceived. And they had to be stopped. And then people were printing these things and they had to be stopped. So what they did is they created a false view of the biblical text that satisfies the people who do not, like the Bereans, actually look into it in great depth. And, you know, this is what we do. We spend a lot of time putting together booklets like Sacrifice of Sophistry, Artifice and Language Land, show you the truth. It takes a huge amount of time. Now, we're starting a network, and I want to mention that in the first half of this program. You need to get on the Kingdom News List, the Living Stones. You need to include a state now. Now you can't hardly sign up unless you include a state. But if you signed up before that, you, when you get the newsletter, you need to update your state information or province. If you're in Canada or, you know, certainly Australia and New Zealand and those places, because we got more people signing on every day now. Actually, quite a flurry of people have been signing on. Every time we get out a newsletter, we get more people signing on. We have to build that from 1,000 people to 10,000, to 100,000 people. It takes 2 hours just to send out the emails now, because you have to, you know, send them out and moderate them. I have to expand. I figured out something on the net, which I've been asking and asking if it would work, and nobody could seem to say that it would, where I create mirror sites. Even asking the guys who run these outfits, they didn't understand how it worked. And I figured it out. I had some problems when I first started to do it, moving these files and folders around in these virtual servers. It would cost me from $200 to $400, maybe even $500 a month to create a dedicated server website, and that could handle large numbers of people coming to the website. And we get sometimes 127, 100 more, sometimes less. That was one number that just stuck in my mind as we moderated. To going to one group, because we have several, hisholychurch.info.net.org. Another site that we've created is Restore All Things, and I may put that on a special type of server that can handle these overloads. And again, it's all this information. Because we have so much and so many different pages that people can go to, because we use PHP, because we create these files and folders that and interactions. It uses a lot of bandwidth, and we put videos up there. We put audios up there. That uses bandwidth. We really need a dedicated server, and we simply don't have the funds to do it. We would like to turn this radio show into a talk show, but we can't get the SL out here. I actually thought about buying a trailer in town, going there and just so that we could get DSL from time to time, because then I could do the talk show. But then I have to drive to town, and town's 100 miles away. We could put the deal in over at a nearby town, here, small little town, Mompa grocery store town. I could probably get some neighbor to let us put a phone line in and then Wi-Fi it over. But again, that takes money, takes time to figure out the technology, and we're not 100% sure that that would even work. But if we did, we could make this a talk show. We could actually buy some equipment. We have more than one line come into here, and we could make this a talk show here. And then we could actually use that to be a talk show on several other stations if we were to spread this out. And I would be glad to do more programs if I could find the time. But we support this ministry with our own manual labor. We don't get enough donations to even pay the internet bill. And that's what people have to realize. When the early Americans came here, half of them starved in the Pilgrims the first year. They struggled. Why were they doing this? But they had insisted that in their contract to come to America, to the company that was helping finance them to come here, that they could actually own land after 7 years of labor, a biblical concept again. They actually, a small amount, but they would actually own it. So when you have these Americans coming here, sharing their food, sharing the workload, sharing the dangers and responsibilities of a community, they began to become independent. They depended upon each other to become independent. They needed each other so that they could become independent. What was binding their society together? The Mayflower Compact or Faith, Hope, and Charity? Love for one another. This is what was making Americans independent so that they could talk about unwarranted usurpations in the Declaration of Independence. They could talk about being free men because they had earned the right to be free men. Today, Americans are on Social Security, welfare, unemployment, government benefits coming from one end to the other. They're in debt up to their ears. They've gotten their government in debt up to their ears by demanding all these luxuries and electing these fools and foolish men who are like Saul, and their kingdom will not stand. You know, why was Saul called foolish? Why was his kingdom not going to stand? Because he forced a tax upon the people. Up to that time, all taxes in Israel were free will offerings. You taxed yourself. Yes, there was a call for tithing, but you tithe only according to their service. No service, no pay. Can you go into government offices today and say, if I don't get service in here today, you guys aren't going to get any taxes money from me? You can't do that. They aren't your servants, they're their servants. That you have turned the world upside down. You have run from the kingdom of heaven into the arms of the beast. Now, if you want to change that, you can't just wave a flag on 4th of July. You have to change your ways. You have to turn around and do something completely different. Abraham did something different. The people who were in bondage in Israel, that's our next article coming out on the Kingdom News List and with News with You, is explaining why in Egypt, if you had to pay 20% of everything you earned in a given year to the government, it was called bondage. But in America, you can pay 60, 70, and 80%, and they can call it freedom. You are under a strong delusion. You are not free. They're not free in Canada. You're not free in Australia. You're not free anywhere in the world today, and there is no wilderness to run to. But there is a solution. It's the same solution that there always has been available to people in Egypt, in Haran. The kingdom of God is that answer. It is the only pure republic left for you on the face of the earth. And we'll talk about that when we return to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? Have you seen Loose Change, the most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement? With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Welcome back, Caesar Kingdom. As I said, this problem of being in bondage, which is where everybody is in the world today, they're all human resources, they're all merchandise being sold out and to the traveling merchants of the earth who own not only them, but their very souls, their very right to own property. That is a critical aspect of understanding the solution, is understanding the problem. The problem is us. The problem is we have not realized where freedom really lies. It lies in faith, hope, and charity, and living by faith, hope, and charity, coming together with others in the character of Christ, in the name of Christ, in the way of Christ, the way of Moses, the way of Abraham. Moses said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Moses was interested in the weightier matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. Jesus said the same thing. Abraham was doing the same thing. His altars were living men. The stones of his altars were living men gathered together to receive your offerings and redistribute them to the needy of your society, so you did not have to go to the benefactors who exercised authority one over the other and make you a slave today. Now, if this is just going to be another radio program that's broadcast over the air for your entertainment, it's not going to do you any good. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to make you feel good about what you've done. I'm making you aware of the fact that you need to do something completely different. You need to change direction. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go another way. And what we're doing now is we're putting people in touch with one another. I joined a little group, Restore the Republic group. Made contact there with a few people. I'm not going to be able to stay on that group. I've got people signing in on the Kingdom News List every day. Already had people sign in this morning. They sent me emails. I've had glitches on the website. I've got to fix those. I've got to go meet with other people this afternoon. My plate is full. We get to bed sometimes, several times this week. Got to bed after 2 o'clock. I'm up with the sun, which is 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Our plate is full. You need to start to take responsibility for your part of seeking the pure republic of the kingdom of God. You need to take responsibility, whoever you are out there, to start doing something more than just doing for yourself. You have to kill the red heifer. What was the red heifer? It wasn't red. It wasn't a heifer. It was a sacrifice outside of your community. You had to go outside of the camp and give something away to absolute strangers for the purposes of the kingdom in the spirit of God. You know, not just, it's not just blanket charity. Send something to Chad, you know, or Sudan. Not that, you know, you can send stuff there if you want. But most of the people who do that, you know, send away to these remote places where people are starving. They do it to feel better. It's why they go to church. They go to church to feel better. It's why they want to think they're saved. It's because they want to feel better. They don't want to be better. They just want to feel better. If they wanted to be better, they would start to live their lives equally for their neighbor as they do for themselves. That's loving your neighbor as much as you love yourself. 50% income tax in the kingdom of God. But you tax yourself. You decide how you will spend your life. How you will help others outside of your own personal life. Certainly, take care of your family. Certainly, help your community. But the red heifer is helping communities beyond where, you know, where you're casting your bread upon the water. You're actually helping somebody way off in the distance, somebody you will never know. The old red button in reverse. The red button story is you push this button, somebody somewhere in the world will die that you absolutely do not know. And you'll get $1 million. That was the story. I think it was $100,000 when it was first told, but you know, inflation. So, the guy finally argues with his wife, and finally they agree, and they push the button. Ding dong, at the door, the guy standing there with a $1 million check. Hands him the $1 million check. He's going to take the little box with the red button. And then they looking at the $1 million check, and they see the guy leaving with the box with a little red button, and they can't believe, is this good? Is this check good? And then as he's going out the door, they ask him, sir, what are you going to do with the box with the red button? He says, oh, well, I'm going to give it to somebody else. And, well, who? I cannot tell you that. I can assure you it will be someone you absolutely do not know. In other words, the guy who's going to get the box now, he's going to have the same dilemma, pushing the red button. And guess who's going to die when he pushes that button? The people with $1 million. You see, this is actually another way of telling you the story of Adam and Eve. If you don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, you're going to die. You have to do that. You know, this is the story of God. If this is the nature of God, God didn't need to create you. God didn't need to create the universe. The nature of God is to create and give life. If that is not your nature, then how is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? It isn't. And you will not be independent unless you live to make other people independent too, to help other people out. And that's where the red heifer sacrifice it goes to, is to help out those people also seeking the kingdom of heaven that are outside of your own community, way away from you. That's why we've always, from the very beginning, I have spent more time trying to find ways of helping other people in remote distances from me that has no immediate advantage to me. If they, can establish a community, a church, an ecclesia, somewhere else, away from me, even done it to the point of neglecting our local community, I shouldn't do that. 50% goes out to others outside, but then of the red heifer type sacrifice, and the rest needs to be here. And so we started focusing more here. Someone down in California, Joey, you'll know who I'm talking about if he's listening, just wrote me that he's going to start taking some of our pamphlets, printing them out, and handing them out in the local churches because he thinks they'll be received. I'm going to write them as soon as the program is over, along with about 40 other people that I have to respond to before I have to run off somewhere else and work. Although this is supposed to be my Sabbath, I've got people lined up to call me right after the show, so I'm not even sure when I'll get out of here or get these emails answered. But the reason I can't hardly take a Sabbath is because too many other people are out there fishing on their boats. I don't even know who's listening to this radio show this morning. Send me an email if you're listening. Most people are out probably tooling around celebrating their independence. What a delusion that is. If you want to be independent, you have to help other people and be independent. You have to spread the gospel of the kingdom. You have to spread the truth. You have to care about your neighbor. That is the road to independence. Because that society is bound together by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. The society that you're in is not bound together that way. It's bound together by covenant with God, which you have chosen for yourself, with who are about to betray you in a way that you cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine how bad it's going to get in the future. Next year, next month, 10 years from now, I don't know. But, I mean, it doesn't look like it's far away. The economy is on the verge of total collapse. Runaway hyperinflation is probably just around the corner. The food supply in America has never been lower. Never been lower. I mean, the pilgrims were better supplied, and half of them were dead the first year, as I said earlier. And we have this imaginary affluence out there. And we haven't seen that starvation, but it will come upon us quickly. You want to put up gold? You want to put up silver? Not a bad idea. You want to put up the real gold, the real silver? Make the network. Create the network. And we're putting this together in place. I need all kinds of help. I need the help from everybody who signs up for the Kingdom News List. If you get the Kingdom News List letter and you've been getting it, you need to go in and update your information so that you have the state included. Just had a call today. We have somebody coming to Minneapolis, and I happen to mention it in the overall newsletter to everybody who gets the big newsletter. And the guy says, "Well, he wanted to meet up." Well, problem is that if you don't include your state in your information, your contact information with the subscription, you won't get the local notices when we're doing stuff in those local areas. You won't hear about the fact that we're putting together a group in Texas, or which we are, or Michigan, which we are, or Wisconsin, which we are, because you're not getting the notices. Also, if your notices are coming in marked spam, that's probably your server that's doing that. So, contact your server. Call them up. Say, you know, I got this email here. Send it to your support, copy of it to your support people and say, I don't want these people marked as spam. You know, we spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars and hours setting up a system where we can get these newsletters out. But you have to take the responsibility of making sure that your personal server is not marking them spam. And all you have to do is call them up, tell them. Now, you could call me up and tell me who they are, and I could call them and tell them, but that's not networking. That's just putting everything back on me. You want me to become Obama for you. you say, well, you government, you straighten it out. No, the government of God, everybody lifts their own portion. I have guys that have been with us for years. They did not update. They got at least a dozen notices to update their Kingdom Newsletter membership. And they didn't do it in their state. And they weren't getting the notices in their state. And they expect me to go in and to the database and fix it for them. When I sent them 6 or 7 notices that they could fix it for themselves, it takes them a minute. If I'm dealing with 1,000 people and I spend 10 minutes with each one, I don't have a life left anymore. That's not networking. That's making somebody the Pope or the King. I don't want that job. I got a job. I'm a father or my grandfather. Going to be a great-grandfather. I don't need to be doing your work. You need to do it. This is the only way to turn the world upside down or right side up again is that everybody, you want your rights back, you have to take back your responsibility. Now, this has been kind of a tirade on my part, but I'm trying to encourage people to take that responsibility back so that they may get their rights back and that they may be able to survive freedom. The problem is when we are really set free, when the system collapses, when the unrighteous mammon collapses, you need to have more righteous habitations prepared. And that's prepared by loving your neighbor as much as yourself, by working together as a community. In order to do that, we have to put you in touch with one another. Now, for instance, in Texas, we've got a half a dozen people down in the Houston area. We've got some people up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We've got one guy way down in the Brownsville area. They're still pretty spread out. But there's millions of people that have not even begun to hear this message. How will they hear it? We get together, form a group. That group looks for more. We got Joey going into his churches down in he's in Nevada. Gonna hand out some of the booklets. Like I say, you better slice the meat thin. I think that's a great idea. I do it myself. But you have to give it to them a little at a time. They have to chew on it. They have to think about it. It is so much different than what they're used to thinking. It's hard to impart to them that information in a way in which they can remember it, retain it. Old habits are hard to break. So we need to start breaking those habits and fixing that thinking. And the key element is not just to study it in your head, but actually start applying it in your life. If we were really acting as the first century church, which was called a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, you would not need insurance companies. You would not need government benefits. You would not need to ever go into a bank again. You would have your own His Church credit union. You would become less and less and less dependent upon a system that is about to fail. And yes, you would become more and more dependent upon those people that you are gathering together. But if you gather together in the name of Christ, what you're going to learn is how to stand alone together. That's the key. standing alone together, each of us being free and natural individuals under the authority of God, but working together as a common people, a peculiar people. There's two places you see that reference. They're actually different words. One has to do with being people that are unbound, free people, but bound in a spiritual way by that faith, hope, and charity, that common purpose. If you want to be a recluse and free, well, you're not going to be in the kingdom, because Christ is only where you gather together with another person in the name of Christ, in the character of Christ, in the way of Christ, in the love of Christ, in the charity and the hope of Christ. The churches aren't doing that. They're singing the people to sleep while they deliver them into the bondage and into the mouth and into the belly of the beast. If you can start to see that, help us get this message out. Again, we're gearing up. If I get the time, I'm going to create that other site on this other server. People, we've got servers in different parts of the country, but if I create it on this other one, we can take the overload as we go on to bigger and bigger radio stations with these messages. I need to take about a week's worth of time and finish the book, the expanded version of Artifice and Language Land, because I think, and most of the people that we work with agree that that is one of the best books to take to radio programs like Coast to Coast, because of the controversial nature of it. And that could bring in millions of people into the network instead of just, you know, thousands that are now part, or in one degree or another, are part of the network. We could easily go from 1,000 to 10,000 to 100,000, and then once you have those people working on this together, doing their part in their local community, and at the same time, because one of the big motivating factors is you're going to start seeing the economy collapsing around you, we can get the ball rolling and really preach the kingdom. And I could get some sleep because I see this as so important. Millions of people are going to perish. Children, grandchildren will never see adulthood because of the fact that we're not repenting and seeking the kingdom with our whole heart, mind, and soul. People are worried about positions, being up on pedestals and all this kind of goofy stuff, and getting their particular doctrine and agenda. The doctrine is simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care about others as much as you care about yourself. Live by honor. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you can't do what you say you're going to do, you don't know Christ. You're deluding yourself. Christ said, make your yeses yes and your noes no. Now, I have a number of people that I work with, and they constantly let the others down because they say, oh, I will do this for the group. I will do this for the group. And then they don't get it done time and time again. And somehow or other, they think that there's some sort of problem with me. I get stuff done. If I say I'm going to get something done, I get it done. I often get it done at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I get it done. I take the extra time. I don't take the vacation. I don't wander off. I don't get distracted. I mean, I've got tons of people pulling on me from all different directions. But, I'm a little overloaded at times. And other work suffers. Mostly my family and my community has suffered because I haven't been able to be there for them, because I'm trying to get you, the people out there in general, to be there for each other. And of course, I can't. I've realized something. We had the sheer sheet yesterday, and actually we realized this a little while ago. Yeah, if you want to be a part of this, you're going to have to work at it. I'm not going to fix your membership on the Kingdom News List unless I see you trying to do it. Update. I'm not going to go in and update for you. That's not the way you sort of seek to bring them into becoming serious. You actually say, no, you're not coming. Unless you take the responsibility. course, now I don't want you to take the metaphor too far. I'm not fearing you. I'll fear sheep, but I'm not going to fear you. I want you to be. I'm leading you to green pastures. You're going to have to decide whether you want to go there. And the way you, I'm empowering you to make all the decisions you want in an organization based on faith, hope, and love. That's my mission. Show you how that works. It's your mission to make it work. I can't make it work. I can't shove you up the chute. I can't. I don't have the energy to force you to go out into the green pastures. I'm just going out there. I'm showing you the way to the green pastures, leading you beside the still waters. You're going to have to decide to eat. You're going to have to decide to drink. You're going to have to decide to be there. You know, there's a picture of me on the net walking with sheep. It's not even the best one we could probably come up with. And you'll see the sheep, 7 sheep, 8 sheep, 9 sheep in a group, another 7, 8, 9, 10 sheep in a group, another 7, and they're shoulder to shoulder eating. This is the way they move through the field. I've actually had, when I took them up way on the desert where they'd never been before, and we're crossing a kind of a rock flat that was grass there, I had 120 sheep shoulder to shoulder lined out all the way across that in one single line. I took a picture, but it was a poor camera and it was a long ways off, so we didn't use that photograph. But that's the way they do it. They do it with a little tiny spoon-sized brain, you know, tablespoon-sized brain. They figured out that you got to come together if you're going to survive in a place where there are mountain lions and bobcats and coyotes. So if you don't come together, lots of luck. So working on the network, we're going to need as much help as we can get. We're going to need some support while we're taking the time to make this happen. We're going to need other people working in their own areas. And don't be daunted by the fact that there's a small amount of people. If there's two, then we can get Christ in on the thing. And when we've got Christ in on our effort, we can move mountains. You know, this is why he's talking about the mustard seeds. It's small. I mean, Jesus started small. They were in the minority, the Christians were. Always. And, you know, it took them years. And he had John the Baptist helping, the apostles all helping. They were going out, traveling all over, spreading how this worked, how the kingdom worked. And then he got them kicked out of the welfare system of the world. And they were free. But they had the network in place to survive freedom. You want to be independent, you have to depend upon one another. By faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. Till then, God bless. Peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.